Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to stand in a position where great men in time past have stood to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't take that lightly. I find it a privilege and opportunity. Just like Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 15, he said, so much as in me is. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. Said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and the Greek. Then he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then there was a certain situation in Acts chapter 21 where a prophet named Abagus, Paul was on his missionary journey, and he went there to this location, and Abagus, he took Paul's belt. They call it a girdle, but it's a belt. He bound his own hand and feet. And he said to Paul, thus said the Holy Spirit, the man that owns this girdle, this belt, shall be bound in Jerusalem. So the man that was with him at that time said, Paul, please do not go to Jerusalem. Paul said unto them, what mean you to cry and to break my own heart? I am not ready only to be arrested, but I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus Christ. Paul says, much as in him is, he will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul went on headed toward Jerusalem. As soon as he got to that location, he went up in the temple and he preached the gospel. The city was in an uproar. They bound Paul. They took him to the captain. Paul, he said, can I please have permission to speak to the people? So Paul was given a license by the captain. The first thing Paul did, he stood on the stairs. He motioned with his hands. He silenced the people. And then he spoke in the Hebrew tongue, the tongue that they spoke in the Old Testament, Moses and all the prophets, and he preached the gospel. He preached it in the language that they could understand. Then in Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25, he went before Governor Felix. There was men that were bonded together. They said, we will not eat or drink until Paul is dead. So he went before the governor. You won't believe what he did. He preached the gospel. So as much as in me is, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. But in the scripture it said that he reasoned with Felix, righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. For those who might be looking for a title this afternoon, I named this sermon Reasoning. I'm going to reason with you this afternoon, righteousness. I'm going to reason with you, temperance, and judgment to come. You know, when God created the heaven and the earth, he created the moon, he created the stars. Everything that we saw, eclipse, we was in awe. He created the planets and Pluto, all the things that man trying to discover. He created all of everything in the water, the ocean. You got whales in there. It's a life form in the water that we don't even know about. He created the animals, the hippopotamus. He created the possums, the rats. He created everything. But out of all of his creations, man is the only one of the creation that God repented he made. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 6, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because God said, I'm going to destroy the whole world. Noah found grace for 120 years. Noah, he preached, he was a preacher of righteousness. And God commanded him to build an ark for the saving of his household. And no man other than his family went into the ark. His father, Lamech, he had other brothers and sisters. None of his other family came into the ark. It gotta be discouraging that none of your kinsmen other than your family went into the ark. But I found that the power of God was displayed when God said, don't worry about the animals. They're gonna come to you. All of the animals, two by two, they had sense enough to come. They came into the ark. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God told Noah, in Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1, because of thee, I have seen righteousness in this generation. Can that be said of us? Can the Lord look down on us and say, in this generation, I see righteousness because of you and me? Can he say that? Throughout the history of time, God always had a remnant of righteousness. And Adam and Eve, when they sinned, Cain and Abel, Cain kills Abel, the only righteous man there. But the promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed, had to come. So Seth was the righteous one. Now when you keep on going down the line, the righteous remnant, you have Noah. Then what about Job? There was another man that was righteous in his generation. Job 1:1. He was a perfect and upright man, one that feared the Lord, and a man that eschewed evil. What does this word eschewed mean? Some people think it means hate. It don't mean hate. If you look it up, it means to depart from evil. So if we draw a line in the sand right here, you got good on one side, you got evil on the other side. See, Job ran from the line. He didn't. Sometimes what we do, we stick close to the line. You know, we shake hands with the men on the other side of the line. You know, and sometimes even myself, men that are in sin, they go through stuff. Well, my baby mama this, and oh man, I just lost my house and this and that. Instead of preaching the gospel to them, I somehow get caught up in it. And I'm, hey man, it's gonna be all right. You're going to be good, and man, just keep hanging there. But I need to be preaching the gospel and sharing with him the hope that is in us instead of shaking hands across the line. See, what we need to do is display righteousness so that they can come across the line. Right. Now, some people, we be as trash dumps. They unload on us all of their trash. We're on the phone, we're comforting them. They are of the world. You know what? My wife's birthday had came. And my son, I said, Noah, it's your mom's birthday today. He said, how old is mom? She 4? I said, no, she's not 4. See, Noah can only see the world from a 4-year-old's mindset, from a 4-year-old's pair of glasses. See, the people on that other side of that line, they can't understand spiritual things. You can try to comfort them, but it's not going to work. They can only see the world from a worldly pair of glasses. See, they are led by the flesh and not the spirit. They are led by the flesh and not the spirit. Do y'all remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 8? By being led by the spirit and not the flesh. When Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. He said, for the law of the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do. In that it was made weak through the flesh. God sent his own son the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are of the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because carnally minded is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. He that is of the flesh cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh, but of the spirit. As much as the God and spirit dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ in him, he is not his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of the flesh and because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, Paul says, if the spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwell in you. Brothers and sisters, we're debtors, not unto the flesh, to live to the flesh. He that lives to the flesh shall die. But he that through the Spirit do mortify the deeds that are done in the body, he shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Christ, they are the sons. By the Spirit of Christ and God, they are the sons of God. We got to be led by the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? Are we led by the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3:17, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord? Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I'm talking to Christians now. Let me ask you a question. Is your temple a house of prayer, or is it a den of thieves? Does your temple have graffiti all over it? Is your temple clean inside, or is it full of trash from all of the music and all the dirt that we watch on TV? And we expect God to live and dwell in his temple. See, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, the temple can be grieved. The temple can be distressed. The temple can be saddened. And the temple will flee. God will flee out of that temple. Romans chapter 13, verse number 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. Let us be righteous. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith in which you have been taught, abounding in that faith with thanksgiving. Are we led by the Spirit, or are we led by the flesh? So one of the nastiest things I've ever seen in my life, my dog got sick and she threw up. Then she went back and ate it. I said, that's nasty. But some of us do that on a regular basis. Going right back to the guile of sin and indulging right back in it after you have been called into his marvelous light. We're supposed to be children of the light, not of the darkness. Righteousness. I'm just doing a little reasoning. I hope I ain't too tough. Just a little reasoning. Paul reasoned with Felix of righteousness. Then he reasoned with him temperance. Anybody know what temperance means? Temperance means self-control. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which that perfect, that good and perfect will of God. The daily practice of disciplines. Let me ask you a question. How do you spend your time? There are 24 hours in a day. You got to have 8 hours of sleep. You got to have 8 hours of work. What are you doing with that last 8 hours? Now, let's say that 1 8 hours, that day, you multiply that times 7 for the whole week, you got 56 hours of free time. Now let's say, I got kids, so we got to count that. Let's just say 50 of free time. Of that whole week, how many hours are you giving God? Now we can say, come to church, that's an hour. Come back, that's another hour. Then you got Wednesday night, that's another hour. Is that all the time you give God on a weekly basis? All right, let me ask you another question. We know you got kids, so I'm going to knock out 2 more hours. You got to take them a bath, brush the teeth. How many hours do you sit? How many hours do you sit in front of the TV? One movie is 2 hours. Then you want to watch another movie, that's another 2. How many hours do you sit watching the football game? I'm just saying. How many hours are you on Facebook? Sometimes you be on Facebook like, 3 o'clock already. How many hours are you playing your video game, your Call of Duty? You can't give God an extra hour reading the Bible a week. You can't do that. God's view of time. Let's look at some place. I don't have time. Let's look at the way God view time. You got the earth. You got the earth rotating on the axis. When it go around that moon or that sun, one rotation is 1 day. So it rotates and it rotates and rotates. But then you got God. He's nowhere near the earth. He's not in that time. He's not in on earth to, live in those days. And so when he looks at time, he said, what you mean you don't have time? You need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem the time, Ephesians 5:16. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you faithful? Are you a faithful steward in your giving? I know it's around Christmas time, so we, you know, oh, we got to give the gifts, you know. Okay, well, I'm just reasoning. I got to give gifts. Okay, well, I have a problem because I can't remember what I got 2 years ago for Christmas. But here we are, not giving God his, going in debt, buying all this stuff for kids or for adults that are not going to remember what we bought them. Do anybody know what they got 2 years ago for Christmas? But God's church has to suffer because it's Christmas time. Are we good stewards in our giving? If we sit down and we look at what we do with our money and we just write it down on a weekly basis with our checks or 2 weeks or a monthly basis, we can find out where our heart at. If we sit down and look at what we do with our money. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Paul had to learn. Paul said, look, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, it's concerning the things of want. I have learned. See, he had to learn to be content. We need to learn contentment. What do we do? This is temperance now. We reason it. What do we do with our bodies? Are we led by the hunger of the flesh? We let it nudge us and push us in a different directions. Like sometimes we're walking and our eyes may look down at a woman or what have you. What are we letting the flesh lead us? Can we put off fornication? Can we put off that drink or that smoke? Can we put it down? Or are we led by? Can't put it down. Are we led by popularity or whatever have you? That stuff drives us. Or how many likes on Facebook? That stuff drives us. Are we led by the flesh? I'm just reasoning now. Paul also reasoned with Felix's judgment to come. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. I remember, I know you all do too, when a boss calls you to get your job evaluation, and we come, we make sure we all clean cut, and you know, he opened up your file. He pulls out everything. He said, okay, well, look, you was late to work this day, write up. No call, no show right here, write up. But when Jesus pulls out the Lamb's Book of Life and he lays it out and he look at the things that we have done in our body, whether they're good or bad, he pulls it out. He'll read it like, well, look, right here, you have strife between your brother. Write up. You didn't teach your children to put me first. Write up. You were slack in your worship. Write up. We're like, what do you mean? I couldn't worship it. Well, you slack in your giving. That's a part of worship. That's worship. Giving is worship. Singing. Some of us sing low. That's worship. You're slacking your giving, your singing. See, one thing that kind of, you know, gets me, we hear, we're worshiping God. Some people looking at the clock. Some people looking at, man, see, we check the score in the football game. Some people looking at this and can't worry about getting out there. What do you think they're going to be doing in heaven? Worshiping. So if you can't enjoy it down here, you don't need to go up there in heaven, because they're going to be a whole lot of worshiping. That's what they're doing. Look, Revelation chapter 5. Word is a lamb. They're singing 24 elders and thousands of angels singing up praises to the lamb that was slain. Worshiping. That's all they're doing. And you don't want to do it here, just go on down there where all the football players and all those folks going to be at. Let that be your entertainment. Because you don't want to worship. You want to go home. Well, especially like this morning, for instance, you know, we worshiping and, oh
man, somebody got baptized. Man,
I'm not gonna be here all day. Now I gotta sit here and wait for brother finish getting baptized. Man, see what our minds are. We led by the flesh or we led by the spirit? That's the reason why we're here, to draw souls to Christ. We ready to go home. Man, she got baptized. One true words I do not want to hear. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read a little bit of that, and I'm going to sit down. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse number 14. I'm going to pick it up here. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Now, these are men who know God. These are his own. These ain't no hired servants or nobody on the street. So he calls his own servants and deliver unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and unto two, unto another two, and unto another one, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Words that I want to hear. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliver unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. He had the wrong interpretation of God. I knew that thou was a hard man, reaping what thou hast not sown, and gathering what thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked. That's the opposite of what he told the other people. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strong. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I shall have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talents from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given unto him, shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he have. And cast ye unprofitable servant to the outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the first thing we got to realize, this unprofitable servant wasn't punished for the bad that he did. He was punished for the good that he failed to do. He didn't do anything bad. See, he was unprepared to meet the Lord. He didn't take advantage of the opportunities to do what he was supposed to do. He failed to seize the opportunity. See, God expects us to be doers and not hearers only. Now let's pick up verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goat on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's saying to the ones on the right, he's saying this, when I was hungry and ye gave me meat, I was thirsty and ye gave me drink, I was a stranger and ye took me in, naked and ye clothed me, I was sick and ye visited me, I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then said the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, When saw we thee at hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and clothed thee in, and took thee in, and naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king said, answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then he said to them that are on the right, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, those on the right side, they took advantage of the opportunity that was set before them. Now, some people say, well, look, I gave money to the Salvation Army. I gave to feed the hungry. Look, Jesus said, as much as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. What are you doing for your brothers and your sisters in Christ? Sometimes we go do something in the world and thinking that's giving something to God. No, what you do here counts. What are you doing for your brothers and your sisters? Look, Paul was persecuting the church. What did Jesus say? Why are you persecuting me? When you're doing for the brothers and sisters, then it counts. Don't miss the opportunity to love your brother and your sister. Go to them, edify them, lift them up. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. We got grudges and we don't like each other. And you know what we are? We're unprepared to meet the judge. Mark chapter 11, verse number 13. And I'm going to sit down after this. I don't want to hold you no longer. Mark chapter 11, verse number 13. Jesus, he's seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. Jesus came to it. It had a taste in his mouth of figs, that he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit on thee hereafter. He cursed the tree. See, it's a sad day when Jesus come back and he find us. We up and we got leaves, if you will. We full of leaves, full of age, but we don't have no fruit on us. Full of age. We at the point where we can, we been here 20 years, 10, 20 years, but we don't have no fruit. That'd be a sad day. It was good for nothing but to be cut down and tossed into the fire. I'm just reasoning. Sorry if I'm being a little harsh. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, God says, the writer says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. Look, let's reason this morning. If you have signed a contract with blood, with Christ, to take on his name and to dedicate your life to him because you remember what you've been through and what your family, maybe you came from a broken home and you grew up in that and it tore you up inside and you went in the wrong direction in your life, but when you met Christ, you was built back up again. If you signed a contract agreeing to hold his name, well, let's walk in the Spirit. If you signed that contract. We signed the contract. We could have said, I'm not going up there and get baptized. For what? But we decided to do this. So if we going to do it. Right? I'm just reasoning. We going to do it, do it. If you ain't going to do it, don't do it. Don't do it. But if you're going to do it, do it. Now for those who are not in the body of Christ, those who are on the other side of that line, if you will, we invite you to come over to the other side of the line where you can finally have peace in your heart, peace that surpasses all understanding, where you can finally lay your head down and know, look, I know who I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I'm committed until that day. You can finally have a relationship with God where he can actually hear your prayers. You don't have to go and call nobody to get comfort. You can pray to God yourself directly and ask for what you need. We offer the hand to come on to the other side. But there are a few rules to get to the other side, which all of us have done. First, you have to, after hearing the gospel, you have to believe it. You have to believe the gospel. Some people don't believe it. Got a couple guys in my work. Man, look, there's just a book man wrote. You have to believe it. You have to repent. A lot of Christians Yeah, they went through all other steps, but they don't stop at repentance. Repentance don't mean come down and say, I'm sorry. Repent means come down and change. Come back and go back out of here a new man. That's what repent means. Don't be like Judas. See, the Bible said after he had did what he did to Christ, he betrayed him, he repented himself. That's not the same repentance. He felt sorry. Don't come down here and feel sorry and then go back out and live like the rest of the world live. Come down here and change. True repentance. Don't repent like Judas did. Confess the master's name of Jesus Christ, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't get a Muslim to say that. And then be baptized for remission of your sins. Come now, while the gallery stand and sing.